listeners, you are listening to another episode of That's Entertainment. I am your pop culture maven, Jeff Malone, and this is one of the, what do we call them, it's a mini-episode of That's Entertainment. You know, typically when it's just me on the microphone, it's a mini-episode. That's how that goes. My co-host Aunt Beth is, shall we say, on assignment. That's what I sometimes say, you know, to as a way of explaining why she's not joining me for a lively discussion at the moment. But anyway, yeah, so it's been a couple months since we were last in your feed. Let's see, it was I believe an Aunt Beth tells Jeff to do something. Yeah, she told me to watch Working Girl, and I reported back about that. That dropped at the end of May. Typically, we take most of the summer off, if not all of the summer. But I usually like to pop in because July is when those TV professionals like to let us know what they've been enjoying about their own industry. That's right. I'm talking about the Emmys, specifically the Emmy nominations. So the nominations for the Sony 8th edition have been recently released. They were announced on Wednesday, July 8th. And yeah, we're going to provide some reactions to them. I had some thoughts. Aunt Beth had some thoughts. And this is also a What's Jeff Watching episode where I just, you know, let you know what I've been thinking about movies and TV shows that have scratched my retina lately that we're not dedicating a full episode to, but that I feel like sharing some thoughts about. And this looks like it's going to be the 21st edition of a What's Jeff Watching episode. So, wow, What's Jeff Watching is old enough to drink. My. Watch out. World of imbibing adults, here comes What's WJW? Okay, so let's talk about the Emmy nominations. Okay, so yeah, lots of notices for The Pitt and other shows as well. Let's get into it. First, you know what? Ipeth, she sent me some thoughts, so I'll relay what she said first before I get into my thoughts. She says she doesn't have too much to say about the Emmys, but here you go. She's got a few things to say. But she's surprised The Testaments wasn't nominated. I assume she means specifically for Outstanding Drama Series, because it did have at least one other nomination. And then she said she thinks she needs to watch DTF St. Louis and Widow's Bay. Oops. Did you hear that bump? Oh, well. Anyway, yeah. Sometimes stuff gets bumps into my microphone. It's a hazard of the profession. Anyway, yeah. So she thinks she needs to watch DTF St. Louis and Widow's Bay, presumably because those shows both got multiple nominations. But she doesn't like that so much of it is very predictable, having seen the Golden Globes and the SAG Awards. But yeah, I don't know. I think there's some unpredictable stuff, particularly with shows that have been released in early 2026 as opposed to late 2025, and thus, you know, weren't eligible for stuff like the Golden Globes and the SAGs that cover TV from a calendar year, whereas the Emmys covers it from the TV season year, typically June through May. Anyway, so what were my biggest takeaways looking over things so far? I'm glad that Pluribus did well. I expected it to get a decent number of nominations. It's up for Outstanding Drama Series. I probably won't win that. I think The Pitt is definitely the favorite there, but if anything's going to pull off a surprise, probably be Pluribus. You know, what's his name? Vince Gilligan's not last show, but his show before last certainly was a favorite at the Emmys. And I'm not surprised that Rhea Seehorn got nominated for lead actress. She might be the favorite there for lead actress in a drama. You know, because I gotta say, yeah, so last year's winner, Britt Lauer, for Severance, it was not eligible this year because that show is still on hiatus. And then the person who I thought was going to win last year, who I predicted would win, Kathy Bates, is not nominated. And I don't know what that's all about. I guess Emmy voters didn't love Matlock as much as I thought they did. She should have been nominated once again. She's still terrific. Anyway, but yeah, I think Ray is the favorite in that category. Although there is one previous winner, Zendaya's back for Euphoria, and I believe she won twice for both of Euphoria's previous seasons. I don't think that's as likely this year, because Euphoria's last season was not that well received, but Zendaya was still clearly great, so I wouldn't be shocked. But anyway, yeah, but the other... So I expected Rhea Seehorn to be nominated. I wasn't as certain about some of her co-stars' chances, but I'm happy to see that Carolina Vidra, is up for supporting actress. And over in supporting actor, we've got Carlos Manuel Vesca. Yeah, so... Those were definitely, I think, the two strongest, the most deserving among the supporting cast for that show. And I'm glad to see them among those recognized. The biggest surprise for me, I think, was seeing Wonder Man nominated for lead actor in a comedy series, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, specifically. Yeah, I don't know where that came from, especially because it means that Jeremy Allen White was not nominated for The Bear. So yeah, but someone was watching that show, apparently. It wasn't me, and I heard decent things, though. Anyway, yeah, but Widow's Bay. Yeah, Widow's Bay did quite well. Where did this show come from? I don't know. It's on my to-watch list. It kind of came out of nowhere, but I don't know. It's apparently a mix of comedy and horror, and it sounds like it's fun. I love to laugh, and I also enjoy stuff that makes you scream a little bit. So this sounds like something I'd enjoy, and you know what? I'm going to predict that it will win Outstanding Comedy Series. Although it, because last year's winner is not eligible, that would be The Studio. But Hacks could win for its final season, certainly. We'll see how it goes. But I'm gonna put my chips on Widow's Bay. Yeah, you may have seen on my blog on jmoney.com, I posted a wish list of stuff I was hoping to see get nominated, and not too many of them did. The ones that I mentioned were kind of long shots anyway, so I wasn't really expecting them. I just kind of wanted to give them a spotlight. But one show that I just forgot to include, which I don't think got any nominations, and I'm like, huh, was The Lowdown, the FX show with starring Ethan Hawke, among others. That show was a lot of fun. I don't know, I feel like 15 years ago, it would have gotten at least a few nominations. It seems it fits kind of the Justified vibe, which was a former FX show that got a decent number of Emmy nominations during its run and won a few, I believe, as well. And, you know, Ethan Hawke's certainly well-liked. He's got Oscar nominations. Has he ever gotten any Emmy nominations? He's done a ton of TV, but anyway, I don't know. Hopefully that'll come back for season two. I think it's been renewed and catch Emmy voters' attention. But one thing, probably this will be what is making me most happy about the Emmy nominations is an outstanding variety special, open parentheses, pre-recorded, close parentheses, The Muppet Show. And it's the Muppet Show, the one-off special with Sabrina Carpenter as the human guest, delighted me, and I know I'm not alone in saying that's it, it better be renewed for a full series revival. We want to see it as soon as possible. And I think that this Emmy recognition is a good sign for that being a possibility. It got a few other below the line nominations as well. Matt Vogel for outstanding character voiceover performance as Kermit. And it's also up for production design and picture editing and sound mixing and writing for a variety special. So that's all good to see. Okay, yeah. All right, so those are the Emmy thoughts from me and Aunt Beth. We'll of course have our annual Emmy wrap-up episode. We'll provide our reactions to the winners and the best moments when the after the Emmys air in the middle of September, specifically September 14th, hosted by Mariska Hargitay. I'll be airing on NBC and also streaming on Peacock. Interesting. Okay, now for the other half of this That's Entertainment episode, a What's Jeff Watching roundup. And you know what? We're also going to talk about what Aunt Beth has been watching as well, because that's sometimes how we do it. Should we rename this What's Jeff and Aunt Beth Watching? What are Jeff and Aunt Beth watching? Anyway, here's what Aunt Beth has to say about that. She just started Elle last night. I believe that Elle being short for Elle Woods, as in the spin-off of the prequel spinoff of Legally Blonde, and she enjoyed it, and she's almost done with A Good Girl's Guide to Murder, and she's loving it. Just like Dracula in regards to being dead. Megan and Mia recommended it. That's, of course, Megan, a past That's Entertainment guest on the Weird Al episode, and Mia, a past guest on the Babysitter's Club and Beatles episodes. Now, what have I been watching? Okay. Well, as far as TV goes, for the past several months, one of the most satisfying additions to my regular TV rotation has been the selections on the Dropout streaming service. And there's quite a cult of fandom surrounding Dropout, and I'm happy to say I have joined it since about 6 months ago. My sister-in-law, Erin, gifted me a gift subscription to Dropout for Christmas, and I've been making the most of it. My top shows include Very Important People, which is a talk show hosted by Vic Michaelis as a fictionalized version of themselves, in which the interviewees are played by comedians who undergo transformations by a team of makeup artists, and once they see what they've been transformed into, they are very elaborate transformations. They have to come up with a character on the spot and then play that character in the interview. And I'm also liking what do you call it? Game Changer, which is kind of like one of the flagship shows of Dropout. It's a game show, which the rules change every episode. It's hosted by Dropout head honcho Sam Reich. And yeah, it's just basically a game show where the rules change every episode. And they are set up for maximum comedy. At least that's the idea and the hope. I'm also liking another game show, Actually, in which a series of statements about various nerdy media properties are expounded, are mentioned, are detailed, and then the contestants have to buzz in and pedantically correct what is wrong about each of those statements. So that one's fun, yeah, and that one's so it tests your mind and your yeah it it uh it it's It satisfies both my intellectual bone and my funny bone. Now, finally, if I had to pick only one Dropout TV program, it would be Make Some Noise, which is, I guess you could call it a game show. It's like an improv comedy challenge game show. I would describe it's also hosted by Sam Reich, just like Game Changer. I would describe it as what if Whose Line Is It Anyway were just scenes from a hat for the entirety of the episode. So if that sounds appealing to you, you might just want to start watching Make Some Noise. Okay, and then let's move on to movies. There's a couple of cinematic selections that I wanted to highlight. And one's a big one, one's a smaller one. Let's start with the smaller one. And it's a little movie called Rose of Nevada. It's stars George MacKay and Callum Turner. Jeez, Callum, he's been everywhere lately, hasn't he? They play a couple of guys who get a job, who get some a couple of jobs on a fishing boat, and then after they go out, catch some fish, and then when they redock, they discover it's 30 years ago somehow, and they're like, "How did we get to the past? And how do what is going on here?" And yeah, so it's a little, it's kind of psychedelic like that. Yeah, not a very big release. Only playing in a couple of cities at the moment. But keep an eye out on your local art house theater to see if it opens near you, or if you have a huge multiplex that plays in a few independent films, keep an eye out there as well. If it doesn't come to a theater near you, then keep an eye out for its home entertainment release. If this sounds like something that's up your alley, and the other movie I wanted to spotlight, which I wouldn't have expected I would need to about a week ago, is Minions and Monsters. The latest in the Despicable Me-iverse is just as delightful as any Minions, and it's a love letter to cinema. But surprisingly enough, it didn't do that well at the box office its opening weekend, at least not by typical Minion standards. And yeah, I'm not sure what's going on. It got terrific reviews. And people seem to generally love the Minions. There's been some theories that maybe people were distracted by the 250th anniversary of this country, or the World Cup has been too exciting, or something along those lines. So, but yeah, don't pass up this one if you're like, oh, I'll take a break from the Minions now and come back to it for the next one. That's a terrible idea. This is no time to abandon the Minions. No time to take a little break from those yellow fellows. Yeah, so let's get back into the let's get this back up to Supernova box office status. It should be playing at a local multiplex near you. But yeah, that's you. I've made no secret of how much I love the Minions. And it seems like more and more every day people are coming, another person is coming out of the woodwork and saying, I am a Minions fan and I don't want to hide it anymore. So yeah, which just makes it even more puzzling about why was this not as much of a massive hit as we were all expecting it to be. But there's time to turn it around. And even if it doesn't become as huge a hit as previous entries in the franchise were, that's okay. It's still as terrific a movie as it is, no matter how many people see it. Okay, so that's yeah, that's a bit of a summer check-in here from those of us at That's Entertainment. In the meantime, you can before until our until we talk to you again, you can leave us a review. One way to do that is by heading to ratethispodcast.com/thatsentertainment. You can, of course, follow us on Blue Sky and Instagram and Facebook. You can support our Patreon if you like, and as always, keep your remotes handy and your eyes open. Thank you.